Welcome to the Headliners Podcast. We are here to bring you some really cool stuff. And then if we were talking in street terms, I would say dope. This stuff is straight dope, which is very addictive and awesome. Ogo, what are we bringing them?
All right, the Headliner Broadcast brings you news, current events, politics, religion, science, and off-the-wall topics like you've never heard them before. We have special invited guests. If there is a topic you want us to cover, inbox us and we will jump in on it.
Again, I call them Ogo because that's Ogo, and I am Jorge. We are your hosts. You can catch us on facebook.com/TheHeadlinersPodcast/, or check us out on your search engine, whether it's Google or the Facebook search engine. We'll be bringing you also additional accounts on social media, on Twitter, as well as Instagram shortly. But for now, check us out on Facebook. Again, facebook.com/TheHeadlinersPodcast. You can chime in, you know, state your points, go back and forth with us. If you have anything you want to post, go ahead and post it right there and then. We want to welcome everyone to this house. Big, small, tall, short, every religion, every walk of life. Politicians, Republicans, and Democrats alike. Social activists and lawmakers. Landscapers, housekeepers, and babysitters, and shoppers, and buyers. Students and metal workers. Construction workers, and people from every career and background. Agnostics, Catholics, Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and even those religions we don't hear about. And if I left you out, let me know. Go to that facebook.com/TheHeadlinersPodcast and let me know, hey, you left me out, and I'll definitely give you a shout out next time. And of course, Christians, we're very, very, very welcome as well. You know, Ogo, there's a lot of different topics out there. The streets are raging with different things right now. And I really want to make sure that we bring everybody to this podcast to listen to these different perspectives and different types of, I guess, what would you call them?
Well, like you said, Jorge, we have loads and loads of events going on right now. This is election season in the United States. We're in the middle of a pandemic. And there's just so many things to talk about. And we have the energy. And young people are out there and they're seeing some things. And then what do you have anything?
Right? Yeah, I most definitely do, Ogo. I'm looking at the sign of the times, right? So we're sitting here and I'm thinking about everything that I've seen today alone. I took a ride into Queens, New York, and out there, you know, I saw on Jamaica on the south side over there some very awesome basketball players. But you know what seems to catch my attention? This Black Lives Matter movement, right?
Right.
I'm not saying it's a bad movement, but if they're going to have the ability to pretty much cast away and throw away everything that's happening with the COVID and the distancing and the social distancing and everything else like that, then I'm looking at the people at this park having a basketball tournament, and on the side, there's a little bit of a protest. So there's hundreds, maybe, I don't know, maybe definitely hundreds of people out there. And if that's the case, why do they have the gyms closed? And there are still churches that are not able to gather in the numbers that we'd like to see them. And I can definitely understand the worry and the definite caution that people want to take. But what's your perspective on this?
Well, Jorge, everything is politics. That's how I see it. And if you don't really have that understanding, that deep understanding of how politics influences every other aspect of life in the United States, then you probably wouldn't understand what's going on. Now, look at it, right? We have Black Lives Matter. And we saw weeks of protests. With no social distancing, with no masks, the numbers went up. Businesses, legitimate businesses, have been shut down. Legitimate businesses have been asked to close because of what? Corona. Now, we didn't see that with the Black Lives Matter. So what is the agenda? Why is Black Lives Matter considered essential and businesses are not considered essential?
Well, the thought that comes to mind is that, you know, it is our right to speak and to protest, right? And many of you would agree. I want you guys to, again, chime in and chat with us on our Facebook.
Right, but Jorge, you know you can speak without putting the lives of other people at risk. You and I are speaking right now. You and I are expressing our views right now. We are not putting anyone in danger. We're not putting the society at risk. We are in the middle of a pandemic, so we should be considerate in as much as we want to express our rights. I mean, nobody's stopping us. We have a platform. We have a technology. Let's use what we have and convey our message, just like you and I are doing.
Right. So if that's the right of the people, let's say, then why is it that there's so much censorship? I guess you know what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about a message that was taken off of my personal Instagram account where it said, you know what, you're sharing information that may be harmful to the public about COVID-19. And I was straight pissed off. And I couldn't believe it that I was being censored on social media, because this was our last frontier, I felt. You know, there's a certain type of censorship, and the big eye in the sky was looking at everything. But right. The internet was like a zone that people really didn't fly into. But I don't know what it is, but I guess because of the different crimes, things that happen online, I mean, I guess they're starting to attack that as well. And I can understand Facebook and Instagram being privately owned, as well as Twitter and TikTok and all these different social avenues or social media avenues. But if we do live in a free society, then shouldn't it be our right to go out there and protest, like I'm saying, even though we're in the middle of a pandemic? And if that's the case, isn't it our right to practice religion the same way? I can definitely see what you're saying. We definitely have a medium and a place to voice our opinions and to really protest in the way we want to. And thank God for technology and podcasts. And, It's just sad to think that if that's the case, I do have freedom of religion as well. Also, shouldn't I be able to congregate because the people out in the streets are protesting?
Good question. Good question.
Shouldn't I be able to go to the gym? Freedom, I know a lot of my friends.
Freedom of religion is also freedom of faith. It's also natural right. So it's also a form of expression. When you're expressing your faith, it's also a form of expression. Why is that being censored? Why is that being stopped? Whereas people are allowed to go on the streets to protest. And like I said, we have technology. We have platforms right now. We have social media platforms. So why are people not leveraging the technology available to them to protest? Why should they have to put the life of other people at risk? We are in the middle of a pandemic. I'm not against protest. I'm against not being sensitive enough to understand that we are in the middle of pandemic. And if we had to stop or close businesses, why did we allow people to be on the streets marching without masks, without observing social distancing? Again, it goes back to what I said earlier, that all of this is all about politics. And for me, if you really don't have a deep understanding of how politics influences other aspects of life in the United States, probably you won't understand what's going on. This is clearly politics. BLM and what it stands for right now, it's serving an interest. What I don't know is whose interest it is serving, but it doesn't look to me that it's in the interest of the majority of the United States of America.
I hear things all over the place. You know, friends send me things, police officers, my friends from back home. I'm originally from Queens. I'm originally from Woodside, the Sunnyside area. You know, Jackson Heights, shout out to all those people out there. But without a doubt, you know, I hate to see this censorship, you know, and it's unfortunate that these things, these events that have led up to this Black Lives Matter movement are so prevalent, you know, and one of those things that led up to it was all these different types of attacks, you could call them, on different groups. Some people would defer on that. And again, let us know in our chat on Facebook. What do you think about it? But yes, these different incidents that have happened that have led us up to this, you know, they seem to be very, very, very racially charged. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I don't know if people are overreacting about this or I tussle with these ideas, right? Because there's this group mentality, like a group hunt, right? So like when one or two people start to do something, they begin to attract and magnetize those things. So you think that people are overreacting about protesting these incidents, and why so?
Yeah, we would love to hear from our audience, but let me chip in something here. First of all, when you see people rioting on the streets, is that a protest? Do we have rights?
Definitely not. Rights are out of the question.
So do we have rights also to damage people's properties? Do we have rights to go into people's private properties and destroy their businesses?
It's bull.
What we have been seeing on the streets, on our streets, are not protests. Right now, our streets have been taken over by rioters. And let's call it spade a spade. That is what it is right now. It's no longer a protest. It is now a riot. And what we must do is to get our law enforcement to ensure that we have law and order in our streets again.
Well, it's coming to that place where it's one thing is leading to the next, and a sense of lawlessness is starting to happen. I don't know if you feel the same way, Oga, but that, you know, crimes have increased, and, you know, all these different shootings and things are happening consistently. But do you think that the cops have anything to do with this? Or do you feel it's much more like further up the ladder? Is it the mayor? Is it the governor? Is it the upper echelon of the political establishment that creates these things?
Well, we need to support our law enforcement to do their jobs. That is what we need to do right now, because we're not doing that. When we go on the streets to protest against the police, when we go on the streets to ask that the police should be defunded, we're not helping them. We're not helping to restore law and order in our society. So we need to start first by supporting law enforcement agents to do their job.
And it's definitely, without a doubt, getting a little ridiculous, if you ask me. You know, people are saying all sorts of things, and right. There's this, again, censorship not only of the media and individuals, but there's also censorship of, I mean, it's getting ridiculous. There's a show called Paw Patrol. I have kids, and sometimes they used to watch that, Paw Patrol. It's about a police officer, like a dog, right? Who is a cartoon who gets, right. You know, who gets the help of the people in the community, which is other dogs and other dog friends. And why censor that? Because there's a police officer in it? Are we being overly or hypersensitive about these things? I mean, there are some shows that traditionally are racially charged in a negative way. But Paw Patrol, come on, guys, getting a little ridiculous. If you think different, let me know, and let me know why. And I'll bring it up in our next episode. But what do you think, Ogo? Am I being a little crazy here?
None at all.
That it's getting ridiculous.
It's such a shame that we are here discussing issues relating to defunding of the police. It's such a shame. I never believed that we could be having this sort of conversation in the USA.
Where are you from? You keep saying in the USA.
Where are you from? Well, I'm originally from Lagos, Nigeria, and I came to the United States in 2014. I'm still a legal resident and not yet a citizen of the United States. But back to what we're talking about, Jorge, right? I never believed that we could be having this conversation right here. The funding of the police. I mean, does that even make any sense? And to be honest with you, we have censored the police in such a way that they can't even do their job anymore. They cannot arrest people anymore. They cannot touch people anymore. So they just stand there. What are they doing? Looking. People are destroying properties. People are bringing down monuments. And they can't do anything about it.
It's sad and it's very awkward, man. You know what? I want to chime in. I saw a quick headline and it was talking about how there was a police officer who found a booger that was big. A booger, man. How ridiculous is this, right? A booger that was big enough, right? A booger. So he finds this in his food. Well, it's so big that he could see it. And the establishment didn't deny it. So what do you do then? I mean, there was also an officer that came on social media that was crying, saying that she couldn't even go and get her food, you know, at a place where she normally would get, her sandwiches for breakfast, and she was starving. So what happened? You know, like, isn't this a little ridiculous at this point?
It is. And again, our political elites are not helping to solve this problem. We're not seeing police officers being attacked. We're not seeing police officers being booed on the streets. And these are people who are here helping our community.
Hey, I get it, Ogo. But let's play devil's advocate here. So, isn't it the police officers themselves that are bringing this onto themselves? I don't think personally that we should crucify all police officers.
True. And, well, if you ask me, right, we all have issues in our respective fields. We have few people who are bad eggs in the police. No doubt about that. Just like we have a few bad eggs in other professions.
Right.
But should we also call all of those other professions bad because we have a few bad acts? Why is the police being singled out and being attacked? That is the question. That's the point.
I mean, here's another headline for you. Ready?
Go ahead.
Police doing dumb stuff. Elijah McClain, right? This is that was just my adage to it. Police is doing dumb stuff sometimes. There's an Elijah McClain story, right? This guy's a 23-year-old young man who was choked. He was put into a chokehold. The headline reads, three police officers sacked over photos of them reenacting the chokehold used on 23-year-old Elijah McClain. You see, what happened here was that the officers may not have committed a specific crime, but the fact that they're reenacting something that was, I guess, very sensitive to the family for one, and to people in general, people of color, they're calling it a crime against humanity. And this is what Ms. Wilson says, it says in the article, right? That it's become a rallying cry amid national reckoning over police brutality and racial injustices. The state is reopening this case, right? And they're going to be brought up on criminal charges. You know, and the FBI is now involved. It's a civil rights investigation. And it says in several places, the chokehold has been banned and other police reforms have passed after nationwide protests. So again, back to that protest thing. Look at this. You know, it doesn't help, guys, that there's police officers out there that are doing things like this. Is straight dumb. Why would you even do that and put the pictures out?
So, Jorge, this is it, right? Police officers should be tried as citizens. They should be tried, and if they're found guilty, they should serve whatever sentence that it's meted out to them by the justice system. Now, that is isolated from the police as an institution. You cannot defame the police as an institution because an officer did something that is unlawful. No. You cannot ask for a whole institution to be defunded because an officer did something that is unlawful.
I don't agree with that either. I mean, you can't defund it. I mean, you're really, really slipping into lawlessness.
And that's what we're seeing. Crime rates going up. Not just in New York, in LA, in just name it. All our big cities have been taken over by gangs and hoodlums.
It's incredible what's happening, you know, in this climate. And to top it all off, we're in the middle of the pandemic here.
Right.
You know, there's people getting arrested left and right. There's another headline that says, a man is arrested for making comments about AOC. I mean, we all know who AOC is, right? If we don't, that's... you know who that is?
I do. Because who doesn't know who AOC is?
Alexandra
Ocasio-Cortez.
Right. So, she's the representative for New York's 14th Congressional District, which includes the Bronx and parts of Queens and the very famous Rikers Island, where a lot of inmates are at. And, you know, at some point, I guess we'll talk about Rikers Island because it's been going through some issues as well, reform, and now they're thinking about shutting it down. De Blasio was getting involved and all these things are happening. But this man is all the way in Ohio, and he was charged, and he's probably going to go to jail. He made a comment on Facebook about her, and he said she should be shot. But he told the police that he was very proud of stating that. And the fact that he did that he doesn't see anything wrong with it. What do you think about this? The guy's name is Timothy James Ireland. He's 41 years old.
So, well, is that a crime? No, I wouldn't do that, but is that a crime?
The words themselves are not a crime. Right. I mean, again, freedom of speech. I don't know, we're on the internet here, right? On Facebook. So, they obviously pulled this card.
Look, Jorge, we have, you know, people who are committing crimes in this country every day. We have loads and lots of crime going on all around the country. So I don't see why we should leave where we have problems and we're going to where we don't have problems. So if the gentleman hasn't committed a crime, why arrest him? If he hasn't done anything unlawful, why arrest him?
That's definitely one way to look at it. But the way that the police are saying they looked at it is that, you know, this guy...
Every day in our cities, people get shot. People get shot in the stores. People get shot in gas stations. And nobody's been arrested. And then you're going to arrest someone for a tweet? Come on now.
I mean, listen to this. This guy, it's saying that this guy was indicted in Toledo for making interstate threats against AOC, in addition to separate counts of being a felon and a fugitive in possession of firearms. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Ohio announced these things to the public. So do you think that regardless if the guy owns a firearm and everything else and he had other accounts, should he have been arrested for that?
If he has committed a crime, fine. If he's established that he has committed a crime, fine. But if he hasn't committed a crime, why arrest him? Are you trying to say that people shouldn't express their views on social media? Or are people now going to be arrested for expressing their views? People have said worse things about Donald Trump. People have done worse things about Donald Trump. We have had people bring up images of Donald Trump with blood stains. We've had someone hold up a statue or something that had the head of Donald Trump cut out. So we've seen worse things in this same country, and nobody got arrested for those things.
Again, I think it's a freedom of speech thing, man. I think they're trying to limit us, and it's a shame because the United States has always been a beacon for these rights, you know.
It's a free country, and that's why we all came here.
Of course. I mean, it's a shame. I'm originally from Central America, from El Salvador, and, you know, my parents came here as political refugees, you know what I mean?
Right. A lot of us came here because of this freedom, and we cannot watch it sit idly by and watch it taken away just like that. We come from environments that are censored, so we understand what censorship is, and we don't want to hear.
Oh, well, definitely not. Hey, you know what? There's a ton a ton of things that I see that are really interesting, right? You know, I was looking at a couple of different things in the way that they're processed in the United States, right? And I want to read an excerpt, and you tell me what you think of this, all right? It says, corrupt the young, get them away from religion, get them interested in sex, make them superficial, destroy their ruggedness, get control of all means of publicity, and thereby get the people's minds off their government by focusing their attention on athletics, sexy books, plays, and other trivialities. Divide the people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. Destroy the people's faith and their natural leaders by holding up the latter to ridicule, contempt, and obloquy. Always preach true democracy. Always preach to democracy, but seize power as fast and as ruthlessly as possible. Encourage government extravagance. Destroy its credit. Produce fear with rising prices, inflation, and general discontent. Foment unnecessary strife in vital industries. Encourage civil disorders and foster a soft and lenient attitude on the part of the government towards such disorders by spacious argument caused the breakdown of the old moral values, honesty, sobriety, continence, faith in the pledged word, ruggedness, caused the registration of all firearms on some pretext, with the view of confiscating them and leaving the population defenseless. I mean, it seems as though we're moving in that direction. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I hate to think that, you know, but sometimes with all the things I see in the news and even on a global scale and this globalization and these, you know, degeneration of moral beliefs and attitudes in the United States, it's sad to me.
Secular humanism, it's no way to go. And from what you've said, all what I can assume that the writer, the author is saying, it's encourage secular humanism. Take away God out of society. Take away individual liberties and encourage government spending.
Create infighting against groups.
Divide the United States, divide a country.
Create lawlessness
and also encourage government spending. How is government going to spend? Through increasing taxes. So going to probably leave you and I without...
What do you think? What do you really, really think about this? Like, really, really give me the meat. Do you think this is the way that the government should go?
I guess
take away the ruggedness of the country and these things?
I guess this is what people on the left are promising. Radical transformation of the United States of America. Take away blocks that make us strong. Blocks like individualism.
It's a shame, man. It's a
capitalism,
shame.
Hard work, godliness. Once you take these things away from the United States, you have fundamentally changed the United States. And that is what they want to do.
Guess who wrote this?
Tell me.
Vladimir Lenin in 1921. How about that?
Deja vu.
So
we are seeing Marxism right in front of us.
I want our listeners to chime in and let us know what they think. You know, what do you guys think about this? I want to move a little bit along here, Ogo, and you know, touch on a couple of other subjects. You know, this bombing and this thing that happened over. Is it a bombing or is it an actual explosion?
In Lebanon. Officials are yet to release exact situation of what happened. So investigations are still going on. I would want to wait until they come up with the final investigation before I, you know, make a comment on that.
I mean, there's been years and years of strife in that region of the world, and I really don't think it's a gas leak or whatever it is that they're saying that it might be. According to Beirut's governor, they said that 6,200 buildings were destroyed and left hundreds of thousands of people homeless, and apparently this was the cause of a small fire that happened right about near their cities. I guess a port there, and it's been stored. There was some ammonium nitrate that was stored on their port, and it's been there for 6 years, and apparently it was set off by a small fire, and it created this huge catastrophe. I don't know if I believe that, but if that's the case, somebody's definitely gonna get fired. But seriously, other than somebody getting fired, I mean, I don't want to say the word shit, but it's a shit show.
Yeah, Jorge, you know, you just pointed out the geopolitics of that region, so we can't rule out other possibilities, you know, and it could be terror related. But like I said, I would want to, you know, wait until officials have completed the investigations, the ongoing investigations, and then make a comment. But we cannot rule out other possibilities outside what was initially stated as a preliminary finding about what happened. So it could be terror related. Who knows? You know, and we've been told several that ISIS has been defeated. But you know how it goes. You know, these things don't just go away like that.
I mean, you and I were having a small conversation earlier today, this morning rather, where we were talking about how, like, you know, like, just like drugs, just like, you know, behind El Chapo, there's the next level guy.
True.
You know what I mean? So behind the last terrorist group, there's another one waiting. True. I believe that. I mean, if you really look at the history of it, there was terrorist groups in the 80s, and there was terrorist groups in the 60s, and there was terrorist groups before that, all the way back to BC.
True.
If you know what I mean?
And these things, like I said, they would never go away. We only get to adjust ourselves to address the new challenges as they evolve. So they're going to keep evolving. And but with regard to what happened in Beirut, I am not ruling out any probability that it could be terror related, but I will wait until officials, you know, come up with a definitive statement as to what led to the explosion. But my heart and my thoughts are with those people who are impacted by that explosion, families who are bereaved and who are mourning their loved ones. You know, it broke my heart.
Our hearts definitely go out to everybody who was affected there, and all the damage that was caused. I mean, it's in the trillions, and rather, sorry, I'm sorry, it's in the billions, up to $15 billion in damage, they're saying, you know, and it's unfortunate, but it's a big impact on the people themselves, and more than anything else, you know, those material things can be replaced eventually, you know, even if they have to borrow money, but it's the lives that are affected. The lives lost.
People, you know, were maimed, were destroyed, and, you know,
I mean, imagine a little boy and girl witnessing something like that, like us, and completely terrible, you know, and the United States has a way of, thank God, shielding things like that from happening here. But you know, September 11 is reminiscent of something like this crazy, crazy thing where thousands of people, you know, are affected.
Were affected, were impacted.
Yeah, definitely, our hearts go out to them. Varying
degrees.
It's an ongoing thing, you know. There was protests that were happening today, and we're on August 8th here, taping this broadcast, and as of this time, there was people who were protesting in Beirut, which is the capital,
right?
And there were security forces that fired tear gas and clashed with the people who were protesting, with the demonstrators. In the capital, this is a crazy fury that's happening after this blast, and people protest, and all of a sudden, here we go, boom, they're tear gassed. I mean, there's people protesting around the world at this point,
Right. I mean, a lot of things are happening at this time. And while it still goes back to what we were talking about in the United States and, you know, but protest is part of political evolution and how you look at it. So people expressing themselves, doesn't matter. People were protesting here in the United States in the middle of a pandemic. We were being considered as the world epicenter, but it didn't stop people from protesting. So I also don't see why the explosion would stop people from protesting in Lebanon. It's unfortunate, but of course people have to also express themselves. You know, that's part of how society gets to evolve and gets better, by people expressing themselves and, you know, being part of the political struggle.
Most definitely. Hey, Ogo, I mean, in other international news, right?
Right.
So it affects us here in the United States, which is, so it's an international, national, federal, intercontinental, topic that has to do with technology, right? Because we're moving along here to the technology sector a little bit.
Correct.
So TikTok, a Chinese-owned company, was initially accused of attaining information from its users,
right?
Most of them being, or a ton of them being Americans, some international users, right?
Right.
Trump then stepped in and said he would implement or impose a ban on the Chinese company on this TikTok. I mean, people are using it all over the place. My wife uses it, the kids, everybody's using this.
Right.
So this information is being leaked. They're saying, oh, it's not really information that, that it's going to really affect you in any way. It's just for our users and to better the program and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's people that are coming on saying that the American version of, or the American sector of this company has nothing to do or very little to do. And it's generally geographically, managed here in the United States, et cetera, et cetera. Anyways, Trump stepped in. He said that he would ban it. Then Gates stepped in, right?
Right.
And he said that he would buy the company. Then it would be an American company, right?
Right. So,
and then we wouldn't have to ban it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that seems a little funny to me. Maybe it's just me, right?
Yeah.
And now, the fourth, you know, the update that's out in news all over the place just now, like today, right?
Okay.
TikTok is now suing Donald Trump.
I was going to mention that.
This is an unconstitutional ban.
This country is a country of law and order, you know. And well, does the president have the right to ban a business? And remember that this business is also a legal entity before the law. So if you say that the president can ban TikTok, that means the president can ban someone who came from China and who is residing in the United States lawfully, you know. So does the president have the powers to do that? So like I said, the United States, it's a country of law and order, and we have only evolved so far through social experiments. So this is also a social experiment, and let's see how far it goes when it gets to the court.
Hey, you know, the president seems to be getting himself in some hot water. He signed that, he signed four executive orders today this whole struggle with the economy and the fallout of this coronavirus. So interestingly enough, these things would go to benefit the public. There is a cut in the amount of money that would be distributed to each individual person out of work to $400 a week, but they're saying that this won't stand up. He's trying to sign this package because he said he got tired of waiting on the Democrats and you know, all this back and forth with getting this package approved for the American populace.
Well, at least better than nothing. You know, we've seen Democrats and Republicans not able to come to the table to have a conversation as to what should be done to support American families during the pandemic. So yes, in a way, the president stepping forward to provide a solution in the absence of none should be applauded. So it might not be the best, but the thought about it, the compelling reason that people need that support, it's enough to, you know, applaud the president. I don't think he's doing that for politics' sake, because we've seen him take measures as well in that regard. I think that Trump, he has his faults, but when it comes to American people, he truly wants to support America and American lives. You know, we've seen that in many ways, and his Make America Great Again and his America First has been reflected in all his policies. So I think this is just one of those, his efforts to make America great again and also to put America first.
So you're saying his sentiment and his heart is in the right place about
this. Correct.
Okay. So, you know, he was in Clyde, Ohio at I believe it's the Whirlpool manufacturing company there with the upper echelon of their management and their executives. And he gave a speech, and he addressed the public at that point. And he talked about all the different things and how things have moved forward. And, you know, people were elated that they in fact were helped, and that they can actually see a difference in that area of Ohio. But the discerning thing, and the thing that was like a little disheartening, was that at some point during the speech, he said, you know, you may not be hearing from me too much. This may be the last time for a while. I have enemies who are very, very, very rich who don't want to see me this way. So I was like, I was taken aback a little bit. You know, why would he say something like that?
Well, again, it's a social experiment. And
I mean, do you believe that they are trying to hold him back?
Well, it's had to.
And who is the they? Who is the they?
No, how can that get me to make political comments that are incorrect? So I would just leave it at, we don't know who the they is here. We don't know who the president is referring to as the they, but it's normal to have political rivalries or political opponents if you're in politics.
Well, let's let our listeners chime in. And
right.
Facebook.com/ The Headliners Podcast. If you guys know who the they is, let us know. Please. I'd like to know. Ogo, you want
to
know?
I would love to know.
Where could they get at us?
I would love to know, yes.
where could they get at us? Tell them again.
Okay, you can get us on Facebook / The Headline Podcast. So go to facebook.com/ The Headline Podcast. Headliners Podcast. Or you can go to your search engine on Facebook and put The Headliners Podcast. You would find us there.
Definitely. And show some support here. Just moving along real quick. I know I want to keep this first podcast under an hour, but you know, there's tons of topics out there, and we're going to continue talking and bringing you some of this news. I mean, you know, I didn't want to stray away too far from our technology section here, because we've touched a little bit about the politics. We've touched a little bit about, you know, what's happening, current events in the United States, and we've gone international a little bit. A couple of the little small different areas, I guess, and topics. But there are some really, really interesting things happening in the technology sector, and that have to do with our biology. There's this new neuronal cultures advanced brain on chip technology. So this just in, within the last few hours here, right? There's in Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, researchers have increased the complexity of neuronal cultures grown on microelectrode arrays, a key step toward more accurately reproducing the cellular composition of the human brain outside of the body. So these guys have made steps to start to replicate the brain outside of the body. So this new culture takes in and can create and generate networks that your brain would generate naturally inside of your head, biologically. But this is all happening outside of the body on a chip. What do you think about this?
That is phenomenal. That is phenomenal.
So, where's the end game here? I mean, you know, we've been watching movies about, you know, the modern man. I mean, as far back as the 80s, I remember the bionic man and the bionic woman, and then they had the bionic dog, and now there's a bionic chip.
There's a saying that goes this way: if you can think it, you can have it. If you can think it, you can be it. And that shows you the level that we can go when we think, when we create in our mind. So it's huge. I can't wait to see what the world is going to be in the next 20 years, in the next 30 years, with all this crazy innovations.
I mean, this is incredible. I mean, it was mind-blowing. You know, what are the ramifications, you know? I know Will Smith did a movie about, you know, this modern drone, and we're really moving towards this technology here. True. I mean, it's incredible.
True. We just have to respond to it the right way, and what the right way is, I can't just sit down here and say what the right way would be. But yes, we have to put laws in place to ensure that we don't begin to, you know, make any violations or hurt real human beings. I want to use the word real human beings now, because if you're going to have to create beings with such capabilities, people are going to be out of jobs. I don't know if you've seen it that way.
Yeah.
Because now businesses would want to hire robots, want to hire AIs, you know, as opposed to hiring people.
So
we really have to respond to it in a way that will still keep society going. You get what I mean? So what that response would be, I cannot just say it here. But yes, there has to be some sort of response from government, from society.
Hey, man, there's so many advances and consistently happening all the time. I mean, there's this new thing as well, you know. There's instead of needles now to implement or, you know, introduce drugs to people in, you know, at hospital or in the medical field, they're gonna start using clamps. They've developed these clamps now as well that it says, you know, that it's a new method of drug delivery for patients. So a person like you who's afraid of needles and blood,
right? No, hey, you shouldn't have brought that up here.
So, you know, you'll get a chance to now you can use a clamp. So I thought I'd share that because, you know, I know that I know your fear and your phobia.
That's correct. But yes, that again goes back to innovation and creativity, which, you know, it's boundless. It's boundless, you know, and as the day go by, we get to see new innovations, creative ideas that dazzle the world, that change who we are in our everyday lifestyle. That's it.
It's incredible, man. It's incredible. There's so many things out there, guys.
True.
If you want to share some of the stuff you know about or a couple of links that you want us to look at and a couple of different or any topics you want us to bring up, again, share it, let us know so that we can bring them up and we could do our own research on it and see what else we can bring up on it. Do enjoy our show, let us know. You know, get at us, Say, hey, like the show, you know, this way we can go ahead and keep bringing you topics you like, whether they be in technology, politics, or any other avenue. Again, facebook.com/ The Headliners Podcast.
Or well, I have just this.
The search engine. No,
yeah, I just have this now. I just wanted to get your opinion on this. So I have 2020 polls tighten. Trump narrows gap with Biden. What do you think? Let me be forward with you. Who do you think is going to win the election? And why?
I mean, you know, oh man, there's so many different reasons why I would vote for a specific candidate. But I really don't think that, which is the best of the two evils?
Is that how you're going to see it?
but you know, unfortunately, like, you know, Trump has said a lot of different things that have, you know, portrayed him in a negative light. I don't think he's as bad as people think that he is, you know? I do think that there are political strategies in place that are creating a very negative view and perspective about him. I know that some of the things that he has said in the past and that he shares sometimes are off the wall and crazy. I mean, at least that's how they sound. But Biden is none the better, and I think he's actually worse.
Okay.
You know, so I honestly think that we'll just have to see who's gonna win. But I personally think that Trump is the better of the two candidates. You know, Joe Biden is good as a vice president, but I really don't think that he has the leadership capabilities. And the only reason he was okay or good as a vice president was because he had a strong leader in front of him. But otherwise, I mean, he says ridiculous things on a whole different platform, wow. You know, on a whole different level. And Newt Gingrich was just talking about him. Not to say that Newt Gingrich was one of my idols or anything like that, or that I side or I share perspective with him. You know, he was Speaker of the House, right? But he's talking about how Biden is kind of like having conjugal visits with China, you know, privately going there. Like just recently, he actually traveled to China to meet. Why? Why didn't anybody know about this? You know, and is he getting in bed with China?
With China.
And why? You know, is it really for trade and trade efforts? I know I've spoken to you about this before, but you know, it just seems like this. I honestly believe that this virus was created in a lab, partly in the United States and partly with the World Health Organization and the other part with China, and there's another part with the investors. If any of you know who they are, let us know. Chime in.
Right.
You know, but if that's the case, I wouldn't want to get in bed with the developer of this virus. I may be sounding off the wall, but a virus, if this virus was truly produced in a lab and was put out, you know, in some way, form or fashion, whether it was through carelessness, which I don't think that it was. I think that it was straight aimed at the United States and other countries. But, hey, that's just me. If you guys don't agree, again, chime in and let us know in our chat on Facebook. Then why would I get in bed with that country? I mean, I know we have to a certain extent because so much of our products are coming from there, and the development of technology and manufacturing is... But I mean, it's sad, you know, because the country has made itself dependent on these other countries. I mean, what do you think?
Well, China has emerged. That's what I think. And we have to deal with China. Clearly, we have to deal with China either as a partner or as a foe. So what would it be? It's left for our leaders to develop a strategy that will work. Well, somehow, we need China. Somehow, we're talking about two big world economies. So somehow, we don't want to collapse the global economy. We're going to have to need China. We're going to have to work with China. How that is going to be, it's dependent on how our leaders strategize. So we need to come up with the right strategy that will enable us engage China in a win-win situation. So I don't know if the way Donald Trump is going about it is the best way. I also don't know if the way that Biden is proposing will be the best way. But I think that we need China. We need to
find out. I mean, you're talking about Biden. Oh, just on a side note, you're talking about Biden here. And this is the guy who said, hey, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. I mean, comments like, I mean, you could say that comments like that are also coming out of Trump's mouth. But come on, man.
Well,
and then back in the 70s or whenever it was, he's talking about, you know, he doesn't want integration to happen. He doesn't want his kids to go to a school where blacks and whites are mixed. Well, he doesn't want his kids going to a jungle like that.
Well, come on now, man. You know,
you go left and right. Which way are we going here? Huh. I mean, you could say, I mean, I know there's people out there that can argue that way for Trump.
Yo, Trump was formerly a Democrat. Trump was formerly a Democrat. He also said things, ugly things about Republicans. So, you know, let's look at it this way. Politicians evolve and their views and their perspectives get to change over time. So, I would say that Biden has evolved. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt that
he
has
evolved. Would you think he would be a good president?
Do I think he would be a good president? Nah. Wait, you're choking me right now, are you? Because I never saw this question coming. Well, I wouldn't bet on Biden. That's how I would love to say it. I wouldn't bet on Biden. I just wouldn't bet on Biden. He's not my guy. He's not the kind of president I want for this country. And he's not my guy. That's it.
All right. Well, with that said, hey guys, I want to tell you all that we want to thank you and welcome you consistently over and over. Thank you for listening. And if you really want to chime in on anything that we've talked about, please do so on our Facebook / The Podcaster channel is The Headliners Podcast / Again, The Headliners Podcast / So the podcast is The Headliners Podcast. Thanks again for listening. We appreciate you. We thank you. And we continue to welcome you. Please tell your friends about us. Hit like. And shortly we'll have our Instagram and Twitter up. So stay tuned in.
So until we come your way next time, keep living the dream.
Be your best self. Thanks, guys. Stay positive. Don't go crazy.